everybody. Welcome to Street Fight. It's Sunday night, 10 p.m. We're in Safe Harbor, so we can kind of say what we want. It's not going to cause too much trouble, but thank you for tuning in. I'm sure a lot of you are blowing off work or maybe preparing on calling off for work tomorrow, or you're going to stay up drinking and don't care if you go to work hungover tomorrow. Thank you for listening live there in Columbus, Ohio, the capital of Ohio. 614 area code, 270 outer bell, everybody inside of 270. You can hear us every single week on WCRS, best community radio that there is. And we're happy to be here to dismantle things, to cause disruption and bring anarchy to eventually the entire globe. But just for now, there in Columbus, Ohio, we will be performing live June 10th at Cafe Kerouac. So those of you in the area or close by, please make it an effort to get out there. Come hang out with us. We're going to be performing at 7. We start at 7, so you need to be there before that. And we will do an hour of comedy, and then we'll all go hang out. We're going to pick a bar. We don't have one yet. I'm working on where we can go, but we're going to hang out, have a good time, and maybe we can introduce you to Kratom, which is a new craze that's in the Street Fight headquarters.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least a craze for us, personally, as people. I finally tried it. We've been talking about it recently. I think it first came to our attention when the state was trying to outlaw it, which is, like, weird. It's weird that you get so excited about, like, you're like, okay, this is a legitimate thing I got to try now because the government wants to make it illegal. It's got to be great.
Well, it's also something that's at a lot of the head shops, even in town. And I've certainly spent a lot of money on various things from the head shops, you know, from the weed store. I've spent money on all kinds of weird herbs and medicines until they eventually get cracked down on, you know, salvia and some of the fake weed spices and fire and ice and all that stuff. Herbal ecstasy I did one time. And wasn't impressed. I don't know. It's just like salvia was probably the closest I've ever been to like a full DMT experience. Herbal ecstasy was kind of like getting dizzy. Maybe just after the dizziness wears off and you kind of just have a slight bit of euphoria. But I don't have much hope for these legal alternatives. You know, they're usually pretty scary. Like the fake weed has people eating each other's faces.
Yeah, and even beer is like, it's like, you know, I'm not necessarily fond of what beer does to people either.
True. Yeah, it can create a lot of problems.
So like,
eventually you have too much of it, it becomes a problem. Yeah, kratom. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect.
I just don't trust capitalism. I guess I do trust capitalism in a weird way because it's like I never tried any of those drugs. You know, I never tried salvia, or I never bought any of the legal stuff because I was always just fine buying the illegal stuff.
That's true. Once you step in, that's the thing too. There were people I knew that were underage or like squares at work, people that get drug tested. You know, they want to fool around. They're psychonauts. They're going to want to mess around with the chemistry in their mind. But so they have to go these routes and they order like research chemicals offline and get into things like that. And I've always just been like, I'm just buying weed, just the stuff from off the street, the coke, the X, all that other wild drugs are perfectly fine for me. I need something a little more extreme, maybe something a little more unregulated.
Yeah. That's exactly it. The unregulated drug market is always going to be preferable to the regulated one. Really. Actually, in Columbus now, the House of Representatives that we have, where they bring one representative from each county and then they vote on things. You know what that is, right, Brett?
A mockery?
Yeah. They have passed a bill for medical marijuana in Columbus, in Ohio. And the requirements for getting it seem pretty reasonable, like PTSD and all that stuff, headaches, cancer, you know, they you know, the bases are covered, you know, we'll be able to get a medical card.
I don't know. There was only 20 medical conditions that I saw, but as long as faint headaches or backaches are in there, I guess.
Yeah, there's always a backache. My knee hurts when it rains. I need marijuana to soothe that pain.
See, but and, like, you know what? Also, for me, this doesn't bother me. I this is what I want more than anything, is to be able to get the medical in there, whatever means necessary, even if we still got to smoke weed illegally.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the crummy thing about it, though, right? Can't smoke it. It's still illegal to smoke it. Like, that is...
Oh, you're right. You have to... Yeah, the doctor prescribes the method for you to take it, and smoking isn't an option.
Only the government would do that. Only the state. This is a perfect example of why I'm an anarchist right there. It's like, man, I don't want any... Like,
I don't
wanna,
I don't want to deal with these people. These aren't good people. There's no good faith here. They treat me like I'm their pet, and that, you know, you don't own me.
Yeah, make me vape. They're probably in the vape industry's pocket. You'll end up finding out that, like, vape manufacturers have bought all these votes.
Yeah, to pay people to get new medically licensed rigs, you know, from their health insurance.
The other thing they mucked it up is they're like, you can't make anything that seems like it would appeal to kids. So basically, they're going to be like, any kind of weed edible that tastes good or looks like something somebody would want to eat is
going
to
be like
a
marijuana bouillon cube, basically, is what you're going to. You have to put it in warm water and drink it, like this kratom. Actually, that was the weird thing about this kratom is it's a powder. It's like a super fine green powder. And I mix mine with orange juice, which I think probably helped a lot. But it tastes like yerba mate. If you've ever had yerba mate, it is in that same family of taste, just way more bitter. I really didn't have a problem with it because everybody else has been hounding us with questions already. That's the only way to do it. There's no way to get around it. You just got to be a big boy and big girl and pour a glass of it and just drink it up as quickly as possible. And once you do, once you get crated, you'll be faded. Like, you're going to be gone, man. This is like real drugs right now. I feel like when I lean forward, all the blood is pooling in the front of my face. It's numb. It's going numb.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird that it works. Like, that's how the government, that's a little bit of government mind control, though, you know, because like that's where, like, we're surprised it works. Like, it's all like, I'm going to tell you guys the truth about kratom. It might be a little more hardcore than marijuana.
Certainly. I mean, in the way that it makes you feel like I have sandbags on my legs.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I can't speak more highly of it. But, yeah, man, you're right. We're going to end up in Ohio with the weed law where it's like you're only allowed to vape or suck on a weed bouillon cube. I'm surprised they don't just make it so you can only buy a pill that's made by Monsanto. I'm surprised that's not the law.
Yeah, that Marinol. Yeah, I imagine they would just, yeah, find however they can get the most potent thing and make it into something that wouldn't be enjoyable. Medicine shouldn't be enjoyable at all.
True. That's what they always talk about when they talk when opioids, like when they're like, we wish we could come up with a painkiller that doesn't also feel good. Like, we're trying to come up with a painkiller that's not addictive and also doesn't have euphoria.
And then we're all looking around like, who's asking for that? No, we all would. We're in pain. We also want to feel good. Get us loopy as well, you fools. What is this? Whose side do you want?
Toss me some euphoria, Doc. I want euphoria. That's what I want when I'm in pain. The thing that kills the pain is the good vibes, man.
Yeah, that helps me not think about, you know, how this injury is going to affect my paycheck.
That's true, too. Yeah, anytime you get hurt, man, they should be trying to make them not addictive. You know, we want the same thing, exact same thing, but not addictive. That's the move right there. But instead they're like, well, it can stay addictive. You know, you can still have to take it every day. We would just like it if you didn't feel good while you're doing it.
See, and I wonder if Kratom could step in for that situation because it feels so close to it. Like, I think with marijuana, a lot of people do mentally freak out. Like, I think that maybe some older generation squares that maybe never smoked and now try to get in on some of this lemon bubble kush or whatever the new Khalifa kush, When they hit that, they go nuts. So how many stories have you read now of aunts and uncles going to an emergency room because they hit the blunt too hard? Like, this, like, is if, this just feels like straight up, like, good vibes and no pain.
What if they did? What if, like, there was a weird, like, kind of licensing system where it's like, okay, here, for the first 6 months of you trying marijuana, you're going to have to smoke this, like, merch. They just, like, we'll give you a bag. It's going to have some seeds and stems. You're just going to smoke. You're going to smoke the bottom of the barrel stuff. And then once you've acclimated to that, like we all had to, then, like, if you can show, like, I you know, obviously people aren't going to make you and I pass that test. They know that we know how to smoke good weed. But I mean, just for the Maureen O'Dowds of the world, you know,
right. It's like they should have been course.
Yeah, they shouldn't have given her, like, you know what? She shouldn't even have the right to not have to smoke crummy weed. You know what I mean? Like, all these people with this privilege where they're like, no, I never had to smoke anything where I had to pick seeds out of it.
Yeah, that's true. We need to give them a dose of reality. I think it helps along with the process, too. It makes you appreciate that White Widow much more. No, yeah, I'm with you. I was making up some rules the other day. I saw a guy in, like, this really nice button shirt and some decent jeans and a pair of loafers drinking Mountain Dew. I mean, you don't get to do that. You don't get to be dressed like that and drink Mountain Dew. You got to be a slob, dude. That's the only way you get to have Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, and, like, I know this because it's my dad. Like, my dad is, like, a computer programmer, dude, and he drinks Mountain Dew instead of coffee. But
oh, yeah. For the kick. This gets me amped up. Ooh, that Mountain Dew. Woo-wee. Sure am good. Makes me want to get up when the cock crows in the morning.
Yeah. Hold on.
But the Kratom is, is badass. I don't know how addictive it is. I read some stuff, opiate stuff in there, so I don't think it's a daily use thing. But I'm definitely putting this in my normal drug rotation. if this everything works out, I mean, I got to see what the after effects are like and everything, but that's totally rules that you can just put a powdered plant in a cup and feel all right.
Well, that's the planet, dude. That's the planet telling you, like, listen, man, one day a comet or some crazy thing's going to hit and destroy this place, and everybody's just going to be gone. So here's a bunch of different plants that'll get you high. It's basically the way the Earth works.
Yeah, they use these on the journey.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, so you posted some news. Speaking of, like, mood-altering substances, look at that. You posted some news today that just blew me away. And it was that Budweiser, the beer that nobody really even drinks anymore, I don't think.
Tons of people drink Buds. That's why I drank at Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, they don't drink Bud Light? Because growing up, for me, it was, like, either Bud Light or Bud Ice. You know what I mean?
You're right. No, you're right. The American consumer is still light beer. It's still, I mean, I look down upon them. I mean, you got to go full Budweiser if you're going to drink it. I think the light beers aren't respectable at all. I understand people's enjoyment of Budweiser, but the light ones, those got to go, man. We can't be putting that out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really for people that don't want too much of a bother with their beer. You know what I mean? Just trying to get...
Yeah, and you need to be able to drink, like, for some reason they treat it like it's water, so they need, like, 2 or 3 gallons of it.
Yeah. But they have changed the name of that beer for this whole summer time coming up. I don't know when it actually starts. Probably soon. To America. They changed the name of the beer to America and then put America. All it says is America on the can, which is really...
And the Anheuser-Busch logo got the AB got switched over to US. They changed, like, Bruden, whatever one of them. They put E Pluribus Unum on there, and they made it basically America the beer.
You should be able to use that as money now. It's kind of, that's like money, basically. It's so weird.
Well, I mean, it always has. Beer has always been money. I mean, that's how you pay people to get you to move. That's how you, you know, that's you, you put them in a bet on your March Madness pool. I mean, beer is, beer has value.
Yeah, beer is what's going to get people to come and sit and watch us talk for an hour at Cafe Kerouac.
It makes a difference. And America, though, the beer, I mean, this to me, I guess a lot of other people saw this as well, but this ain't an American company anymore. Everybody knows you're not from America. This seems like such a try-hard thing. It's like when some foreign exchange student puts on a gigantic, a sweater with, that says Guess really big across the front of it. It's like, no, we don't wear that. We only wear that to point out the foreign exchange students.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that are buying American flag Tommy shirts and all that. Like there's, yeah. you're not an American company. Get out of here with that.
Well, I think you just said, like, I guess a lot of other people noticed it. I mean, that was the beautiful thing to me, is that, like, I saw the post over and over again, like, wait a minute, they're not even an American company anymore. And I'm like, that kind of pierces the veil, I think, a little bit. That's one of those things where it's like, people are like, wait a minute, yeah, they're not an American company. What's this about? Like, I'm not a nationalistic kind of guy or anything like that, but you would think something like this would really flip out like a Alex Jones, like one world government NWO type person, you know.
They want everyone to shut off their brains. That's why it's called America, because when you drink it, it erases your mind. It takes away all of your logical thinking so that you just fall in line with what the New World Order wants.
They're gonna, you can only buy it with Amaros, the
yes.
new currency.
That's how we get it, through shoddy trade deals that hand over all of our jobs to illegals.
It really is such a one world government thing, because you start thinking about Budweiser and people will be like, well, they have so, there's so many jobs created in the United States. And I'm like, you know, come to think of it, all the stuff to make the beer is in the United States. We grow all the stuff in the United States, and all the people that are actually doing all the work to pack the beer and get it to the places, they're all here. So we don't even really need those other people.
Well, exactly. And that's why I think, why isn't this just the beer that they make for us? Why don't we just have the government make the beer? I know, silly anarchist here talking about, you know, government, but I wouldn't mind if the state was just like, you know what? Everybody knows how to get a Budweiser. We need to, no more horses, no more football ads, all of that. We're just going to make the beer. It's called America. It's provided by us. You know, it's the standard. Feel free to make a competitor, but there's just going to be this one swill beer that everybody can get a hold of. It'll be like the national beer. Like that, that would be great. Hand over the keys, InBev. With Belgian-ass Friar Tuck looking fools, hand it over, give it back to us, let us make it, and let's be done with it. I think it's time to put it all to bed, because I, you know, and it is funny because people are way educated about it now, you know, what's going on. Craft beer is obviously a great thing to make fun of, all the people involved with it and all of the shit that surrounds it, but at the same time, people are more educated, and I don't care if I'm a snob, because like I care because I buy beer from people that live near me. Like I don't give a I've never been bothered by it, like to say that like I wouldn't support anything about Budweiser. Like, I mean, I'm glad that they give jobs to people, but I think we could just do it without all the marketing and the other owners in control. We could just take care of it ourselves. And just to get another slam in here for them, they have all those sneaky ass companies now too. And so like I've used the coupon apps on the phone, always got coupons in their beers. That Shock Top, man, that stuff ripped my stomach apart. It was like basically eating diarrhea is what it did to me. I mean, it was just like, I got their Thanksgiving pumpkin beer. And then that other beer they own, that sneak beer, that Goose Island, same exact thing. Bubble Guts Beyond Days. I felt like my stomach was going to explode. Like my stomach was pulled so tight, you could see my guts through it.
Yeah, I mean, they're poisoning you. That's the thing. Your ideology is so pure that you can't even drink that beer without feeling like it's tearing you apart from the inside.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I had to. That's why I don't drink it. That's why I had to switch. And you know, there's plenty of other growth. I mean, I've drank lots of real thin, watery, low alcohol, beers, man. They got plenty of them out nowadays. So I don't know. America the Beer, though, this idea, because I have some pretty conservative, like super conservative relatives who are kind of like, well, when I was a kid, you weren't allowed to buy American flag socks or underwear for that matter. You know, it just wouldn't have been acceptable. So I don't know. I don't know where people have been. I haven't seen any opposition to this. I don't know where people are at with that, you know.
I mean, I think that there's a certain segment of people, the people that buy Budweiser already, that are going to keep buying it because they don't give a shit where it's made.
Yeah, that's what is that. And they might not. We don't need marketing campaigns, is because the people that are going to drink it are going to drink it. And that's why we don't really need for them to like edge out the markets and all of that. We don't need a group of people overseas managing all of this. Like, we got it. It's just it's just cheap ass beer. It's the same shit they've been making for a long time.
It is the big, like, it is kind of weirdly American in that, like, if you go in the beer aisle of a grocery store, like, most of it is stuff that's made by Budweiser.
Yeah, and they make 3 packs, 4 packs, 7 packs, 13 packs. They make glass bottles, aluminum, you know, plastic mugs. They make it in every, and so that it's like just a wall. That whole thing is like a wall of advertisements for Bud. But now it's going to say America even bigger, which is like, it kind of seems like they live like when Nada put on the glasses, he saw like Budweiser would have turned to America and he would have been like, oh, America is a poison that makes us all stupid and abuse people. And but now they're like, they've just lifted the veil and it's like postmodern, just like, I mean, this is it. This is what you do. You have to go to work and you get 2 days on the weekend and you're just trying to get into a place where you don't have to remember what your life is like. So America does that for you. Here it is. Drink it up. It has drinkability.
Well, yeah.
America has drinkability.
It also takes up a shitload of space, too. That's the thing. That's the most American thing you can possibly do, is just take up a ton of space and like, push everything off to the margins. Push everything off to the side and minimize it as much as you can.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this...
And it's also just because you have the most money. It's like the first company that was probably given a license after Prohibition is this company. You know, that's what got them where they are.
Yeah, and taking advantage of markets and buying people out, and just, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because we don't take care of, we can take care of beer in our hometowns, people. It can happen again. I feel like it's so easy to get it done.
I want to just say that, like, your idea of nationalizing a beer is, like, really attractive to me. Because, like, one of the things about the Soviet Union, like, I heard so many negative things about the Soviet Union growing up. But then I remember one day somebody told me there's a national vodka. And I was like, that's tight, though. That's a thing that they do.
That's that was cool. Thing. That's because they think about you.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, they don't ever give any thought to us. Like, they're literally like, we're the government, we got a gun, we need more money. that's the relationship we get with them.
That's true. We don't even have, like, a government fruit or national fruit.
They don't even try to inspire us. Like, in the Soviet Union, we are superior. We do everything correct. We look out for man. We are not savage animal like American. We make vodka for all you. You know, like, they were at least had, like, something to be inspired about. Here, it's just like, oh, those guys over there stole all your money. I'll go beat them up if you vote for me. You know, it's like everybody hates it. Everybody thinks everyone else is crooked. And that's like, that's the relationship we get, is a bunch of crooks are deciding your life. We can't even get them to, you know, take care of that. Pick up our beer tab. We've been working for you our entire lives, you know, so pick up our beer tab.
They're always trying to get rid of, like, anarchists or people that don't agree with them. Well, the way to do that is to give them something. Like, the reason I don't like the government is because it's like a net negative all the time. All it does is bad stuff. I can't even think of the last thing where I was like, oh, I'm glad the government's doing that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, I like the, I mean, I really do love the world. I think it's great, man. IRL is the best thing, to go outside and see all this stuff. But the government doesn't necessarily provide all of that stuff, or, you know, other people could definitely, we don't need, they get involved in so many things. Like this marijuana thing, they don't even need to be involved. They just literally have to stop killing people for it and stop throwing people in jail, and the rest will take care of itself. We already have, we're already doing this, you know, then that's the, like, the, this is why 4th of July, I don't want to see anybody flying that flag, because there's nothing to be proud of this year. Like, with this election, you look like a fool to me if you're flying an American flag out there. This is pathetic.
Are we getting to the point where there might be a little bit of shame? Where it's like people, there's like people on the 4th of July that are just like, I'll fly like a purple flag. Anything as far away as I can get from that American flag. Actually, I was talking to my daughter the other day and I was like, you know, I don't really care about flags, like American flags. Because she was telling me that they were going to go camp at some camp, but somebody saw a Confederate flag there. So they decided to go to a different Girl Scout camp. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's very sweet. I was like, I just don't like flags, you know? And she was like, me neither. I guess I like that rainbow one, though. And I was like, that's absolutely perfect. But,
yeah, that's the best one. I mean, it's all the colors. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you got to like all the colors.
But, yeah, as far as, like, if people were just like, I'm not into America this year. This 4th of July, we're just going to air our grievances. That might be the thing. Like, that would light some fireworks.
We need to set up microphones and PA systems where people can just let out their hurt. We need to have an intervention on America, like a national intervention on America, where it's like, when I was a kid, you protected me from Russia. And now I pay too much for health care. You know, people just like out there, you know, like a therapy session.
What if they did? Here's something for you. What if they did a whole thing where it was the parade, the 4th of July parade, but it's just people standing on floats with a microphone taking turns, like saying all the things they hate about America.
Yeah, or like, you know, people just apologizing. I had no idea that by flirting with some of these more nationalistic, more white pride movements that we would end up in this scenario. I try to remain fiscally conservative, and I still believe in it. So, but I'm at a loss for words. You know what I really like, too, is that I like being in the middle, because in our Street Fight Twitter feed is actually wild as hell. I follow a bunch of really questionable, sus people. And so I get it from the left and right, and all I see is people, like Hillary people are like, if you don't vote blue, then the problem is you, you know? And then I also see, like, you know, you may not want to do it, you may not want to vote for Trump, but we could get Hillary. And I'm like, everybody's just screaming about about something that I'm not doing. You know what I mean? Like, just get people to vote for your person. You're going head to head on it. You know, like, this is what we ended up with. Or don't support them. Don't begrudgingly support somebody. Just wipe your hands, raise your hands and walk away, man. Let's all take a lap this year.
Yes. Do you think that conservatives are going to be apologetic about halfway through the summer? Where it's like, oh, we weren't really thinking the whole thing all the way through. Like the people that are supporting Trump now, after it's starting to look like,
we promise we'll elect somebody gay if you just vote for Trump on this one and trust us. You know, we'll make sure that we can get some diversity in there. I don't know.
Mulligan. They'd be like, give us a mulligan. Like, just forget about this Trump thing. You know what I mean?
There was an error in the game, you know. We got to put some errata in the rules book. We got to go back and edit up what we can and can't do here to prevent these type of demagogue figures from rising to power.
Hear me out on this, Brett. This might be something you'd be into. What if in August of an election year, we had a likability vote where it's like we all just go to the people that are going to vote, go to the polls. And basically it's just, do you like Donald Trump? Do you like Hillary Clinton? And you get to vote on each one of them. You know, and then we figure out where their likability ratings are. And then if they're at a certain low point, both of them, boom, we're just not going to do this election.
Yeah, I think we could also, yeah, I think it's time, they do this in reality TV, and if we're going to have a reality TV guy in there, I mean, we got to get dynamic. This Constitution's got to get millennial. Get up with the times. You got to do a rule change or bring something in, and I think we could do that if we, maybe let's say if you can't get overall more than 20% of the people to vote for you, you can't be president.
Yeah.
So that way people can make a stand. People can be like, no, I'm not going to do Trump. I'm not going to do Clinton, because I'm not getting very much pushback. I'm trying not to get too political, because to be honest, as a political expert, all the years around, I don't like to talk to foolish people that are only interested in politics for about 6 months every 4 years. But I
love
have
that, though.
I have not even been able to get any. Maybe I've just purged my Facebook too much. But I'm trying to like shake somebody.
No, we're still about 2 months away before it really sinks in. Like, shit, this is really the two people. This is who? Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And which is why the idea, this likability election, or even like, what if it was just like a 1-800 or a text? You could text in, you know, like, and like you can just do it anytime.
But they did this. They already had vote. They've had votes for the last months and months. This is the system. They've already went through a rigorous process to get these two, to get these two fools in there, to get an aristocrat and a reality TV, a rich boy, blue blood, silver spoon, Manhattanite, into the, this is what they already did all this.
But why does it feel RoboCop then? Why does it feel like we live in RoboCop with these two people now?
Because it's like getting out of our hands. It's like everybody's like, oh my God, it can't actually come to this. Like, this is, people are losing their minds. This is, people are like, even the conservative crowd, what we're seeing with all those people, those, the Kevin D. Williams type and the rich boys that all the Chapo Trap House knows all about. Like, those people are completely mad. They don't know what's going on. They can't believe it, you know. And it's like, and that you have so much faith, man. You had so much faith. Your house is covered in American flags. You probably got like an American flag tattoo. It's like, and this is the garbage they put out. It's like, you know, it's like if you'd got a Weezer tattoo during the Blue album.
Yeah, it's a mess. It really is. Like, it is nice though to see that kind of lose its, like, that conservatism's dead now. That Bush kind of conservatism, I think it just got killed. It feels like, you know?
I don't know. I knew one haughty conservative that lived in Annapolis, Maryland, and drank Dewars every night before bed, and, you know, owned a sailboat. That's why he wore his Sperry topsiders. And he was very much the stuffy, you know, stiff upper lip man. But I mean, I don't have good breeding, you know. I'm more of a mutt, so I don't really get to hang out. But I have not found any like polite conservative, like, because they really think it's a valuable ideology. That's hard to find.
Yeah. And Matt and I went to that Defending the American Dream Summit, you know, and was not a thick crowd, you know what I mean? And those are the business, like the Center for, or the Americans for Prosperity, is business conservatism. You know, it's the Koch brothers. It's like, well, even if they are talking about some kind of a social issue, it's just so they, because it'll further their business. It's like, being against fracking is racist, is something they would try.
Yeah, I mean, it revolves around like that pure pursuit of capital.
Yeah, but I mean, we talked about this, and like every time I've ever seen a convention in my life, this is like these packed halls where everybody's trying to get to meet somebody or do, and this place was pretty much almost empty. It just, like, and that was one of the things where I was like, man, this like smart conservative, this intellectual conservatism is a lie. It's not a real thing. It's a very small group of people that have the loudest voices and whose parents, like, you know, left them a legacy to sit around the house and eat burritos and type blogs all day, you know?
Yeah. Yes, that's where we're at. And I think, man, I think maybe Hillary Clinton can skate by easily into it. But I don't know what happens even for next for Republicans after this. Do they try to balance this line? I guess maybe. I don't want to start talking about the next election, but I just want to, like, I know that it can happen. Like, historically, parties have came and went, you know, and there's no reason to think that the world can't be shaken up this much. I mean, this to me is a very rude awakening, and is way more indicative of who we're dealing with.
It's crazy
the world.
It's crazy that we can get to where we are, you know, and still think that like anything else would be worse, you know. Like we're trying to pick between these two people, and you know, Jill Stein's running too. And I like people
that's
that
true.
Vote third party. I always think that's great. Like what
I agree.
You know, I don't read the platforms or anything. I'm not going to vote for a libertarian. So if I was going to vote, it would probably be for a Jill Stein. And like I see her message and I'm like, I like that. I like that message as much as anything I've seen. It seems like that lines up perfectly with me, but it also seems completely incompatible with the system that we currently have.
True.
You know?
Yeah, reform is a hard sell for me as well, and I agree. I do like Jill Stein. It's so hard for me to vote because I've moved so much that I'm always registered in weird places, and I'm not going to take the time to fill out a form to do it. And so, like, it's just hard to get it done for me.
You're like afraid to go to the BMV too because you think they'll arrest you.
I don't want to get scanned. I don't want actually them to tell me there's a bench warrant out.
You want to hear something? I went to the BMV the other day, Brett. I get to the front of the line and the guy is missing a front tooth. I don't know. It looked like it might have been knocked out or whatever. He might have fallen. Like it didn't look like he was missing tooth. It looked like something got knocked out. And he's filling out the paperwork and he's like, "That'll be $40." Or whatever it cost me. I handed him the $40 and I'm talking to him for a second. And he was like, "Here, can you sign this?" I don't know why they make you sign it twice, sir. I didn't even complain. I just signed it. I signed whatever you do just to give me those license plates. He's like, "I don't know why they make you sign it." Oh, he said, "I don't know why they make you date it when the date's already at the top. But I don't know why the government makes you pay $40 to get a couple of pieces of stupid paper with a bunch of numbers and letters on it."
Okay.
And I was like, I think he's one of ours. I should have handed him our, like, I wish I had a business card for that moment. I'm like,
I'm going to order business cards.
I think I got something for you, my friend.
Yeah, that's an insurrectionist right there. That's amazing. He just could read it all over your face.
Yeah. Oh,
or maybe
he
says
it
to everybody.
Me? Yeah, I mean, I hope. Because I was already in there and I was really irritable, Brett, because all they take is checks or cash. And I'm like, those are the two things that nobody has with them. We know that everybody has one way to pay. Pretty much. That's what everybody's carrying. Take the cards. You know what I mean? Another example, it's like the government has this little building where you have to go and you have to have some guy, you know, sell you a sticker for $40 and a couple of pieces of dumb paper with a bunch of numbers and letters on it. I can't believe he was woke. That guy was woke. He was just sitting in there like, "I'm on your side, dude. You
just
want me to spit in the boss's coffee?" I should have told him to go spit in the boss's coffee or something. Go punch somebody in the nuts or something. Do something cool.
Yeah, I actually I had to do the BMV and it was crazy. Like we wait in this line for 2 hours, get to the front, find out what we're missing, drive all the way home, come right back. You know, have to wait again. Not wait the whole time. They let us go to the front, but you know, then we had to get one more thing and I had to go run out to the car and come all the way back. And it was just this big and 6 hour endeavor. And like, we just would have paid the money. We just never had the time. My wife had to be there and it was who, has the time or effort to do this?
It's got to be a lifetime thing. This license thing needs to be turned. That's the first thing I do under communism. I mean, I don't know if I'm even going to have a license thing. You know, I don't know if I'm going to have driver's license. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. If you're worried about that, maybe that's something you'll bring up in the meetings. But I'm going to vote to be like, you know, just let them drive. I mean, maybe we'll figure something out. You know, you come up with ideas. You send them to streetfightradio@gmail.com. You let me know how you'll handle the license. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's a lifetime appointment because I hate having to go back and get a sticker.
Yeah.
In Ohio, it's literally just going and getting a sticker. We don't get inspections or anything. We go pay $60 a year for a sticker to stick on our car so that the police don't pull us over and harass us.
I know. And it's something, yeah, and it's something that, I mean, you can you do it online in Ohio?
Well, actually, they put little vending machine type things in grocery stores. Now you can do it. They're trying to get rid of the workers, though. That's the thing. They're trying to get rid of my dude with the missing front tooth, man.
That's true. That's waking people up. Yeah, I mean, I love that attitude. I feel like that's because then you can't complain. Like, some, you know, that's how I that's exactly how I was when I was started getting real disgruntled about doing collecting when I worked for Discover Card. Towards the end, I was just like, you know what, man? I mean, this thing is all a setup. You know, they've said they have all these rules and things that they've been hitting you $35 a month. Look at this, $35 a month for fee, overdraft fee. I would tell them like everything's screwed up and corrupt and all that. But then I eventually got their money though and gave it over to Discover Card.
That's true. I mean, there's nothing you can. I understand. Yeah, maybe it is just a thing. Like when I worked at the cable company, I would always be trying to help them figure out a way to rip off the company. Like if we can, you know. I'll give you a roll of cable, buddy, if you want to run it yourself. You know, it was just kind of like once you get to the end, you don't really care. Maybe that guy was just getting to the end. Maybe he watched like V for Vendetta before he came to work.
Sure. Just it was a hype. He was feeling more revolutionary that day. He was feeling like more like waking people up, shaking people, rattling their cage a little bit.
Yeah, it was great, though. It was beautiful. I mean, like, I'd like to go I want to go hang out with him on his lunch now. Maybe I should do that one day. Be like, buddy, you know, you said that stuff about it being just letters and numbers. I say that all the time. You want to know what else is just letters and numbers? The Constitution. You ever thought about that, my friend?
Bank numbers. Whatever the budgets are that says our schools can't have decent food and intact walls.
Yeah, he's our first troop. He would be our first troop. I think I'd go recruit him for, and then like we're now one, we have one troop on the way to the army that we've recruited from the outside.
Street fight militia.
Yeah, but it's an actual militia. That's gonna be the thing is like radio shows are always like, yeah, I got the fart man militia or whatever, or the army, but ours is going to be like an actual army. There's going to be barracks and guns and
we got shooters. I know we got shooters. Steve is a shooter. He's listening to Street Fight. He, you know, we helped him get woke, you know, starting 5 years ago. And, he runs with big guns.
Yeah, we got an army. We got a little army, and that's cool. Once we can get you guys barracks and pay you, it'll be an official kind of army thing. We'll have like an army. I mean,
and when if there's no fighting, you guys just got to make beer for everybody.
Yeah,
and stuff for to sell.
But you can do target practice and stuff like that with your guns all day too. You can make the national beer, which will actually not be called America anymore. It'll be called Street Fight Beer, because that's what the country is going to be called at that point.
Okay. I don't want people to get, I don't want it to seem like a subliminal message, though.
That's true. So you just want a white can. That's the problem with your kind of cut, your brand of communism.
No, I like flair. I'm a strict small businessman. I really think that like just where they make the beer, where it's at right now, get rid of all the Budweiser stuff. Let some of these graphic designers from the local art school go in there and make up their own labels. And just, you know, the people in Columbus can take them over the Budweiser factory and make 614 beer. I think that's for me, like, that's my ideal. That really gets me off.
Yeah.
The thought of that.
Yeah, small business. I actually, yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, just people taking care of, like, I mean, you know, when there isn't like a monoculture, you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of, you know, if there was no Subway, to make sure that you could get a sub anywhere you were at every 15 feet, I mean, it takes a lot of effort.
That is true. That is. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that could put their subs on the market. If we were focused on, you know, we spend time subsidizing all these bullshit ass ingredients for Wendy's and McDonald's when we could, you know, get somebody, Dan, who loves making hamburgers, get him to take over the McDonald's and make something decent, a respectable burger that you don't have to eat in shame.
I love that you've now gotten to the point where you're like, we're just going to nationalize everything. Everything's going to be run by the local guy that's good at doing the thing that he does. It doesn't even sound outrageous when you say it, you know? It's like the local person that's good at doing the stuff that they do, let's let them just take care of it. And nobody from out of here gets to have any hand in it. And then people would be happy at their jobs. That's a problem solved. Boom. Put that on the list, you know?
Takes care of quite a bit, yeah. And, you know, make sure that working conditions for the people that supply everything is decent. And then we're on their way, man. That's all I want to get to. That's my secret plan. You know, if it hasn't gotten out there yet, I mean, just to empower people. Cause we still have to take care of things. Like, I understand that a lot of work needs to get done to make sure people can eat and stuff.
Rhodes, but it's like, you're trying to explain.
It's crummy. Yeah. I'm a Rhodes guy. I love the Rhodes. And you know, like, I think that, you know, I guess, buying
you're
a
not
sticker
you're not anti road
like no I'm pro roads, and I think that I understand paying for them too, man. I understand it costs money to keep them together, pay a membership fee to drive the roads, but you know, it could be done in a different way, of course.
Yeah I mean,
just don't understand. I mean, I don't know why I feel like I am a foolish or childish or like I don't kind of get how the world works for believing that an organization that's supposed to take care of us wouldn't be looking out for looking out for people.
Beer. It you know? Would be like, hey, we notice you guys are buying up all this beer. Let us make you some. Let us make you some beer. It seems like you're into that. That is not what the way the government set up, though.
No, I mean, they're set up to impede and nickel and dime and take money from people that are doing things. Like, that's most of what they're doing.
They would have been like a long time ago. They would have been like, I see you guys like going to the doctor. Why don't we give you that? If that's the way it was set up, you know?
Yeah, we can take if everybody chips in. If everybody, it's like, it's an easy thing. Like, I've seen enough math on it. Everybody chips in on this healthcare and we can be done with it. One shot. We don't have to have, we can get rid of all of that other stuff, but you know, it's not compatible with this world because we live in a place where they want everyone working. They need everybody on the dole.
Yeah.
Like people, they need medical billing and coders. They need people to work at for-profit colleges like Everest Institute to learn how to be a medical biller and coder. They need the interest from that money, you know, from their loans. They need, you know, all of the people, all of the reps and all of the plastic pills, the fake magnets. You know, they have to hire some graphic designer to make up the Mucinex monster. That's what we're supposed to just lean into.
Yeah, and you're just trying to cut out the, like, you
I'm
want
just
us
trying to
have
get
a
easy breezy.
You want us to have like local Mucinex monsters. It's like shit, you know.
Too.
You know, in Oregon the Mucinex doesn't even have a mascot. It's just got like a nice classy wooden box it comes in. And in Ohio it's a Buckeye. It's scarlet and gray. You know, the Mucinex monster's a scarlet and gray fucking loogie.
Well, and the thing about it, man, is I've been paring back the lifestyle a little bit. I know I was a whole food shopper for a while. I had a contract doing work for them, and I lost that, and I haven't been doing as much mystery shopping. I'm back on the Aldi tip, and it just makes me so fucking mad because, like, I go and I buy these root vegetable chips from Aldi. They come in a white bag that just says root vegetable chip, and it has a picture of them, a little bit of leaves on there, a nice graphic. It's like $2. So we're going out for... We're going out for Mother's Day. Oh, we forgot a snack. We run into the store to go get it at Whole Foods. We go and buy whatever these root vegetable chips are for $4. It's the same damn chips. You know, like I go and buy Honey Crisp Oats instead of Cheerios. Crispy Oats is what it's called instead of Cheerios. And it's just like we spend so much time selling the same thing over and over again that I just it doesn't make sense. Maybe I spent too much time pulling it apart or thinking about it, but why, you know, if you can put crispy oats or Cheerios or whatever they're called in the other states, if you can put it all in just a box and give it to us, that would be way easier. Like that, just do that. We like it. We're used to it. We're done with you're not selling us on it. We don't need to see a new version of the mascot, any of that.
You know, I don't like you. The weird thing is, and like, I know that you're right, but I like to just have the Cheerios, you know, and I know that they're no better than whatever you call them, the Crispios, you know,
it's a honey of a bowl in honey nut crispy oats.
That's good. I might get them. No, so when you got those root vegetables, here's a question. When you went and got those root vegetables at Whole Foods that were $4 instead of $2, did you the whole time you were eating them tell your wife, like, they taste the same? It's exactly the same. It's just
the same chip. As soon as I opened it, as soon as my eye saw them, I was like, oh, that's the same damn chip. We just ate these chips for half the price like 4 days ago.
Save one of these chips, honey. I'll show you when we get home. I'll put them up next to the other chips that I got. Same exact chips. I'll put a blindfold on you. You try eating one of these chips and tell me what the difference is. I would love that if that happened. And then also if she told you the non-generic.
I don't know. They just taste different.
One of them tastes generic for
reason. They're not different. Yeah. You can see, you can measure it every different way. I don't know. I just don't think it's the same.
Yeah, they have they also, like, all those places have, like, money-back guarantees. Like, Cheerios doesn't even give you a money-back guarantee. If for some reason you got to a point in your life where, like, you were like, I want to try Cheerios, but I haven't tried them because I was never a baby, then you decide to try Cheerios and you don't like them, you can't just go, like, hey, I want my money back. These don't live up to the Cheerios name. But if Crispios don't live up to them, you can take them back and get your money back. These don't live up. These aren't like Cheerios, you know?
Sorry about that.
And they have that's the thing that like the store brands at even regular places are like compared to the ingredients in. And you're like, man, that's what sold me. It was like, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and look at these ingredients. Boom. There they are. They're the same exact thing. I'm getting them, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's just seems to be, there's a hybrid. I just am like such a hybrid thinker where I really do like, and I like weird, I like local and independent, but it just seems like we're all arguing about things. And basically people just want to make sure that Bagel Bites are going to be here next week. And it's like, yes,
true.
There will make them. We can stop, you know, fighting. We can stop putting prize packs on the side of them and all that. But yeah, the Bagel Bite will still be around.
Yeah, I saw Captain America: Civil War this weekend, and I just want to know that that's still going to be around. And you know, and I'll see these things. And like this one, I wasn't totally over the moon about. I mean, I guess I had a fun time when I was in the theater, but now that I'm a couple days away from it, I'm like, forgot I even saw it. Really, it was just kind of a thing out there, but I still want to know that they're still
making
them.
That's how it is, dude. They're just disposable. You just crumple it up and throw it away. They're literally have gotten to the point of being comic books at this point.
Yeah, there's a new one every there's so many new ones now. There's always like a new one that I can get excited about. And I always get depressed when they're like, they've announced that they're making, you know, these seven movies between now and 2020. And you're like, oh, they already got that all planned out. Like, oh, yeah, but man. Then as soon as the movie comes out, I'm like, I got to go see this thing. I'm going to go see it. So I end up spending the money. But, man, it is still depressing to be like, man, they got
They're like, hey, don't get out of your chair. Lean back. We've got more Marvel brand ocular sedatives to blast at your face. You're going to be always spending money with Marvel, owned by Disney.
What if they sold Kratom at the movie theater? That's something we should probably start asking them about.
Oh my God! That's what they need to do at those stuffy ass like Austin movie theaters where they fucking bother people for being themselves in a movie. Like they need to do Kratom everybody, where everybody can just be sedated in their chair and being like, "This is fucking amazing." I feel like I'm just a floating brain right now that's absorbing this movie.
I don't know what's stopping you and I from opening up a Kratom restaurant bar. Basically, you just come in and have Kratom, and that's it.
Yeah, I thought about it, too. I was like, I looked at the prices, and I'm like, man, I bet I could go flip this downtown. Like, I bet if I gave some to some people and were like, I'm the plug, that they would keep coming back.
Yeah. And you open up a nice little Kratom bar, man, and like, you'd have a line down the block and within a month. I know I can sell people on this. I would just be standing on the street like, hey, man, like, I'd stand out in front of the place, and as people walk by, I'd be like, hey, it's tea, but it gets you messed up.
Yeah. Like, hey, man, I understand tea. It's a little, you know, it's been a problem for sitcom dads for a very long time. So you have some fucked up opinions about it. But this is going to change your mind about tea.
I understand that you think this sounds really hippy-dippy, but I'm going to tell you right now, it has some punch. It'll get you.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to feel this stuff.
It's like a couple blue footballs, my man.
Oh, my God. That's genius. Okay. Put that on the list next to the store where we sell cigarettes to minors.
Okay, we'll have a Kratom spot. Yeah, I don't know how to get it. I mean, maybe I would have to figure out a way to get it to be edible. This is something I know that there's just, if you're not into drugs, I don't think a lot of people are into drinking anything like this for it.
Man,
like, this definitely doesn't go over as well as Bud Light.
But hear me out on this though. Bong it. Right? Bong it. Like a beer bong. We'll have like the bar and it'll be like just beer bongs hanging over the bar and we'll just dump in 5 milligrams, you know? Boom, you're done, you're set. And it's like, no, this isn't glamorous. I'm sorry it doesn't look glamorous, but you don't have to sip on it all night. You have it the once, and then you feel spacey for a while. It's nice.
Slamming and jamming.
Slamming and jamming. That is it. That's what we'll call the place. Because that's the thing. You don't want to open up a place and then have it have the image of looking like an opium den. You know, where everybody's just laying down in a bed. It's like, no, this is the type of place you go to for some slamming and jamming, you know?
Yeah, if there was really loud music, because I feel like, I don't feel like a zombie. I don't feel like I'm going to pass out, really. I just, but it's one of those good feelings, like, it's when I feel like Juicy J, I think. Like, when I think of the amount of drugs he does and that he still is, like, rocks the party. And I think of how hard it is to fight through that. Sometimes that's like, he's a big inspiration for my drug use.
Future. He's like a future, too.
Right, right. Like in Denver, I smoked like 3 gigantic blunts right in a row and got so high that I was like shadow boxing. And it was like, I can do anything right now. You know, like I just get hyped. It has that same feeling because this doesn't like fake ass drugs. You know, like this is real drugs that I'm on right now. I completely give it a thumbs up as real ass drugs.
So you were when you were shadow boxing in Denver, was that when you were watching a lot of wrestling? Because I've noticed now that like when I get a little too high, I'll sit and I'll like flex I'll try to flex a bicep that I don't have. I have zero definition in any part of my body. But I'll go over there and try to look at it like, oh, man, that would be nice to have a muscle.
Well, no, wrestling was really got me into fitness. I mean, that after my daughter was born, I kind of was like, well, you have to be a good role model now. You can't be a lazy piece of shit, and you should be able to move around, and you shouldn't like have to go to the hospital or just from, you know, playing a sport, you know, like your life isn't over. And so then watching the wrestling dudes, I felt real ashamed. So their body shaming worked on me, and I was like, man, I want to get cut like that. I realized it was way too hard and not worth it, like the life that you have to live to look like that. But I'm in a healthier place now with my body dysmorphia.
Yeah, it is nice. You're probably, yeah. I'm just,
How was that Civil War, though? Did they really get down to, what was it about? Like, it was about a fight about whether superheroes got to register, right?
Something like that. It was.
Dog.
I mean, I saw
you don't need
movie.
Kratom. What are you going to do with Kratom, man? Just watch it with one eye open? Like, just drooling.
I smoked a bunch. I was high when I saw it. Let me just say, for the listeners, I was high on marijuana when I saw it.
Oh, my goodness! That's shocking!
Confess, okay? But, like, here's the best I can explain it. They wanted to set up like a state-run office that would authorize the use of the Avengers. So the Avengers would basically be like a weapon that the army has. Or they would just be kind of like the army. They're like the army's ultimate weapon. Captain America's like, no, I don't like this. I don't like this bureaucracy, which is very American, really. I mean, he was getting slammed for being like a libertarian in this movie, but it's like, kind of agree with Captain America. I mean,
yeah, I don't like when people do. Yeah, I don't care for bullshit that's anti freedom.
Yeah, and he's like, it's like with as far as like the Avengers go, it's like first they killed a bunch of like aliens that were trying to kill everybody on the planet. You know what I mean? Like their uses of force. They do innocent people die with their uses of force, and that's why people want them to start being, like have oversight by the government. But I'm like, I don't trust the government to have the Avengers, to tell you the truth. I'm like, I'm sorry, if we have the Avengers, then we're either going to have to kill them or not let the government be in charge of them.
Yeah, they haven't done a very good job with power.
They got a bad track record with weapons. Is how I feel about, they're gonna about use them. The Avengers. Oh yeah. Oh my god. Can you imagine what if the government had Superman, what they would fucking do with that guy? You know?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, Superman may not want to go along with their agenda. Is he American?
But if they had Superman and it was like they could get Superman to do whatever they want, how many people do you think Superman would have killed by now?
If they could get some sort of like straitjacket and push down on the top of his head to fire his eyes like a laser beam, and then they could just get like a crane and put him on top of that and have some, they could just fire his laser eyes at people, they'd be into it.
Just have him get on his hands and knees and have a troop right on his back and pull his head up to shoot people with his laser eyes. Like a horsey. He would be like a Superman horsey. But he can also fly, so maybe we'll get a Superman pilot too to sit on his
He would be controlled. Yes, he'd be a Superman pilot.
I'm the only fucking guy that didn't flunk out of Superman flight school. That's who you're looking at right now.
He'd be like Battle Cat. That's like the Superman vibe. He'll put on like a, they'll put like a muzzle on him, and like he'll be like a horse,
a saddle. Yeah, they'll put a nice ornate saddle, or no, I feel like I not some sort of chair, a stabilizing chair, maybe like a Sparko race seat.
That's the Halliburton Superman. That's like the government's Superman. That's what they would want. But yeah, they would use the hell out of it. They would have done some Hiroshima type stuff. With a guy that could blow tornadoes. Like, the government would just kill so many people, you know?
Why does Tony Stark want everybody to register?
Because they killed an innocent, a building fell on this woman's kid, and she yelled at him for it. She was like, dude, you guys were fighting, a building fell and landed on my kid. he's dead. I can't get him back. And Tony's like, maybe we do need some oversight. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody does need to oversee us. And it's like,
no.
I mean, buildings are going to fall when gigantic alien slug, like big giant alien worm thing. But the thing you don't know is in Avengers 2, he also created the weapon that was killing all those people. So, like, it's like Tony Stark was like, I feel kind of bad about this stuff. Like, maybe I've made a couple of mistakes.
I thought I was God there for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Whoops.
Huh.
You know?
Was it so, okay. So, what do you give it? What's your rating?
Like, a 6
the best
out
Marvel,
of
probably
10.
The best Marvel movie they made so far.
Yeah, I mean, it is better than all the other ones, but it's 6
out of 10. Oh, really?
Like, because here's the thing. My enthusiasm for the Marvel Universe is waning. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
Each movie
I can't believe
still,
you're still hanging on.
Yeah, each movie is still going to be the best movie that they've made. But
true.
It'd be like a 6 out of 10, you know? Like, because it's like my enthusiasm is significantly down. Maybe it goes up. Maybe they make one that I think is a masterpiece.
Black Panther. And then, that Black Panther comes out.
Oh, I did. They got me into Black Panther quite a bit. That guy's cool. That's I don't know why he wasn't in one of the first ones. Well, I do. Because nobody even knew he was like a superhero until they started running out of mainstream ones. Until they started running out of superstars.
Yeah. And they he's been popular in comics for a long time. I mean, I knew about him when I was a kid.
We're talking about me, who
right.
is only familiar with the comic book movies. I've never read
right.
a single one of the comics, you know? Yeah. And I kind of even get confused watching the movies sometimes. So I rarely know what's going on. I'm just there for the fights, really. I like watching, Spider-Man fight Ant-Man. And be like, whoa, what's going to happen there? You know what I mean? Who's going to win that match? Is really how I feel about when I go see those movies now. Which is basically all they are now, too. It's just superheroes fighting other superheroes. That's like this summer. It's superheroes fighting other superheroes. And Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. That is the theme of this summer. In America, really. America, the beer, not the country.
I don't know, man. I'm driving myself further underground. I'm going to have to, I don't even know what movies are coming out this summer. Is there any other big blockbusters? I'm always so surprised at how many there are. Like, you know, like, that there's always, like, Civil War seems like that was supposed to happen in a few years from now.
Yeah, I have to check, like, a lot of times. I'll go on the app to see what movies are coming on sale. Because you know how I pick movies. It's like, what's the biggest blockbuster this weekend going to be? That's what I'm going to go see. How can I contribute to that giant pile of money?
Yeah, I'll jump in on that. Let me in.
But I don't know, man. I'm not seeing anything that I... Oh, X-Men Apocalypse is the next one.
Oh, yeah, that has Apocalypse in it.
And then Ghostbusters.
Okay. These sound familiar now. I remember the flare-ups at least about them. Female
yeah,
Ghostbusters? Female?
Yeah, I'm going to see it, though. I'm going to go see it. I mean, it's a Ghostbuster. You know, I'll go see a Ghostbusters movie in a second. I actually went to a band concert today, and all the kids played songs from Star Wars. That was one of the band things, and I was like, that's the classical music now. That's all that's there. That's the reason for it, is so they can have Star Wars music.
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot for movie scores, and, I mean, you can't get any bigger than that. I mean, it's like one of our biggest mythologies as American consumers. Like, the Marvel has really turned into our Mount Olympus of the gods, and then Star Wars is our distant cousins out there in space doing awesome shit.
That is cool. Somebody just sent me a thing about Kratom, Brett, that if you drink grapefruit juice, which is actually something also they say with acid, then it'll help the Kratom work even better. And it's like, what?
Oh, I love that street shit. Yeah, I love the street.
Yeah.
The street idea. Yeah, I read that too. That's why I drank it with orange juice. They said orange juice got rid of the awful taste.
I just don't give a shit about the taste.
Someone mentioned grapefruit. Someone said grapefruit would be better.
I just don't care about the taste at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even an issue to me. I understand that it is an issue to some people, but when you know what the feeling's going to be, once you've tried it the first time and you go in the second time, it's like, easy. Eh, I don't care. You know, that's fucking great.
You're I'm rocking and rolling. I mean, and it's really nice and clean. I'm not jittery and I'm not itching myself or anything like that or sweating. There's no heart palpitations. But it's lasting a long-ass time, and I feel like I could just chill and hang out and have a fucking good time.
So, yeah, if you can get us in contact with a sponsorship with Kratom, although I think we're going to bring Kratom to prominence. One of these Kratom companies definitely going to have to hire us now.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to be a spokesperson for it. And also, I want to say thank you, Captain Fryheit. He's the one that bought it for us and sent it our way. CaptainFreiheit. Thank you so much, dude. We got 7 bags of this, man. We got a whole bunch. So we'll keep you updated as our new addiction to Kratom begins. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And we will also, we got an interview coming up. And remember, if you can get to Columbus on June 10th, you have a very great chance to see the ground floor, the first Street Fight Live at Cafe Kerouac. But come at 6. Just come at 6. We'll be around there, you know?
Yeah, and for those of you that can't make it, we will be playing it online, so you'll be able to see it there. As always, we're going to get the audio from it, and you'll get that as a podcast for free. You know, Street Fight Radio stupidly stands by a very ethical idea of doing business, and that means we want everyone to be able to enjoy what we do, which means we don't make much money off of it. So for now, you're going to get the audio there for free. And, you know, to see us live, it's just going to be $5, $6.66 if you're going to use a Visa or a MasterCard. And then we'll have videos available as well. That'll be $1 to check those out to help raise funds. And, you know, this is me taking a lot of time and effort to put it towards something, you know, having that content that me and Brian can use to pay for our food and our family and relieve our stress. Oh, man, are you busy? Can I bitch about something to you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You're welcome to.
Dude, salary, man, is killing me. I feel like I had a breakthrough with it because we talk about salary and complain about it a lot and everything. But my wife took 4 days off. We were going to go to Ohio. A whole bunch of plans fell through. I'm like, let's do staycation, 4 days off. And just to recover from work, she needed 2 whole days. It took two whole goddamn days of just recuperating from the stresses and, like, amount of work that she did. And it's like, you know, during salary times, usually, you know, you get when you become salary, you get that big check. And it's fine when you're working 40 hours a week and, you know, you make grocery, you make dinner throughout the week, you make all your food, you live modestly, you know, you can go and have fun every now and then. But once it ramps up to 70 hours and shit, man, it's like, you know, then you don't get any reward. You're still living the same ass paltry lifestyle. It's like, fuck this, man. I'm doing there's too much effort going into this to not be able to break me off to change so I can go pay for a night out or something or for some Kratom.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a fan of salary either. My wife ends up working a lot more hours. I'm always like, it's more than 40. Like, I wish there was a way that if it was more than 40, then something kicked in where it's like, nope, uh-uh. That you got to keep track of this. You're not allowed to do this because that's what salary is. They'll give you a salary that can pay the bills, but then they'll take every last bit of your time in your life away from you.
Yeah, they'll pay for you to have a phone and then have you up all night working on it, you know, or being like, ugh, I'm going to leave at 6 tonight and just finish this up at home. And, man, it blows, man. Like, right now we're just in a really stressful period, and it's, like, adding up. And it's just pathetic, man. It's pathetic that we do each other so dirty like this. We don't want to change what the dynamic of this world is, obviously. We do that through laughter and comedy and friendship and fun and family and all the rest of that. So please continue and come see us in Columbus if you can. If you want to help us out, streetfightradio.com/support has a few links there. You can donate some cash. You can even sign up to be a monthly donor. That's new. We started on Patreon. So patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightwcrs. We'll get you into the website where you can donate a monthly amount. You can do even just a dollar. We had someone sign up for $2, $2 a month. I mean, I know you can afford that. And if you can, please take the time to do that and help us out so we can get this moving. I already got some interest in a Pittsburgh show. Someone is willing to help. So we're getting things going here and glad to have you come along and are ready to make this something huge and something that can hopefully take down the Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton machine. And we will do that each week, two times a week, on streetfightradio.com, our central hub. Find us on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, find us on Stitcher, rate us in there. And enjoy your week. Have a good one. Closet, come out of the hole, come out of the woodwork, come into the fold. Devils and fighters and lights to kill. Now with the bandits, stop on the hill. Open your windows, open your doors, open your mind to a freedom of thought. Cast. This revolution won't be the last. Cast this revolution on people.